Hello, welcome back to Kitchen Curiosity, recording right here in Munich in Germany, the home of brilliant engineering, great beer, BMW, and seriously smart kitchen innovation. Today we're delving into ConvoSense intelligent cooking system from Combatherm, a well-built brand, part of the Alley Group. So behind every piece of innovation is collaboration. Today's conversation brings together two people at the heart of that journey. Frederick Bourne, the VP of PressaTaste, and Arne Manter, the Director of Product Management at Combatherm. Together they're helping shape the kitchens of tomorrow, blending human intuition with artificial intelligence. So grab a coffee, or seeing as we're in Munich, why not get a beer, and let's get started. Frederick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing very well.
Good. Well, thank you for joining me here in the studio in Munich. And it's great to be back. I know this area quite well. I used to ski, I still ski a lot in Garmisch, and was actually based in this part of Germany many years ago when I was in the army. So it's nice always to come back to this part of Germany. So just for our listeners, do you want to just sort of start us off a little bit about your job, and maybe also like take us back a bit into where you started your career?
Yeah, of course. So my professional development is deeply connected with PressaTaste. It started basically back at university. I studied information technology at TU Munich with a focus on software and AI.
Okay.
And this is also where I met our founder, Ingo. And this is way back. I'm talking like 2009 back.
Yeah.
Back then, I was a working student. We were working for his family business, working with laser material processing. Even then, it was already about AI and controlling processes.
Oh, right back then?
All right, yeah.
When most of us had never even heard of it.
Yeah, it was very up and coming, for sure.
Yeah.
So the thing about that is that it's a very difficult to control process. So we kind of took a step at it from all angles, and really tried to exploit every bit of process emission that there was. So talking about images and video, of course, but also plasma radiation and vibrations in the metal, sound, whatever you could get. And yeah, built a toolkit that was able to understand the process and control it.
Okay.
And this is very interesting because although the field is very different, the technology that we used back then was kind of the starting toolkit that we used at PressaTaste as well.
Right, okay.
So, a lot of the technology is very similar.
Okay, so you've always kind of worked in that technology piece and, say, working with AI many years ago before even most of us even heard about it.
That's right.
How did the relationship start with, obviously today we're here to talk about ConvoSense, so yeah. How did that kind of start and, what was the base for that, so if you like?
Yeah, today we have quite a broad product portfolio, but we started with ovens. This is also going back a little bit to the founding days, where basically our two founders, Ingo and Laura, brought two different family businesses together.
Mm-hmm.
Ingo coming from that laser material processing high-tech side, and Laura coming more from the bakery industry side of things, with her family having deep ties with WP.
Okay.
Yeah, and we kind of took these two things and brought them together. So the first thing that we did was try to see what we can do using similar technology and applying them to ovens.
Right.
Process control, trying to understand, what is going in the oven, how do you need to cook it, when are you done, that kind of technology that would support.
So that was something you were doing just internally in your business?
Yes.
Sort of saying before we'd even started talking to Combatherm, really, I suppose.
That's right.
Right,
so
okay.
We were looking for partners who were willing to really not only use the technology, but be an active partner in it and help us getting it market ready. And Combatherm did just that. So there was a really deep tie with teams connecting on the engineering level, on the product level, on the marketing level. And we were lucky enough to identify a customer who was innovative enough to give this a shot, because especially with the kind of big customers that you need, trying to place a product that just is not there yet, that has no comparison, that nobody has done before, is really difficult because they also don't really know how to procure it.
Yeah, of course. So, of course, it's something completely new to them. And
right.
But yeah, what's this crazy company talking to us about? Yeah. But I'm not, I don't know, but yeah. And so just taking a little step back, and we're obviously going to talk more about ConvaSense and obviously your relationship with ConvaTherm as consultants, if you like, I suppose. Your day-to-day job, what does that look like? What's a sort of typical day for you?
It's a little bit of everything. So coming from a point where you start as a working student and end up being in charge of technology, I've kind of done everything that we need to do on a day-to-day basis. And in a certain sense, I still do some of that every day. I'm the kind of person who just sees where something is going wrong and tries to help and jump in. So yeah, I would say it's a good mixture of some operational topics I need to take care of, but obviously a lot of work with my tech teams, yep, building roadmaps, seeing them implemented, balancing the right amount of innovation and making sure that this doesn't let us lose sight of bringing something to market quick enough for it to matter.
Okay.
It's always easy to get lost and kind of try to find the next big thing for tomorrow. But you need to do something that also has impact today.
Yeah, right? Of course. And do you think technology is moving quite quickly then in that sense?
Technology is moving very quickly. Getting it introduced to the market is what takes more place. Right. And there is always opportunity to jump on the next thing.
Because of skepticism or?
Yeah, I would say it's also about finding the right people who appreciate that innovation, who see the value, who also work with us on proving the value.
Yeah.
Okay. Because especially if you're talking about really innovative stuff, new technology, you need to find out how to measure its success as well.
Right.
The kind of KPIs that you're looking at may not be obvious, and customers often don't know how to measure them, or they don't know that they could matter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, everything is somehow connected, right? So you never... It's very difficult to isolate your impact on the whole thing, to really say, okay, there is a 5% food waste reduction and that's because of our system, or sales are up by 15% and you can see that is attributed to the quality that we're delivering.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to isolate that effect. And
to actually measure that specific.
Correct.
So for people that don't know your company specifically, obviously, you've been involved with ConvaTherm, ConvaSense, but what else do you do?
We do a lot of work on optimizing kitchen processes in general, often targeting retail customers or fast casual restaurants.
Okay.
We feel at home when there is a certain standardization. A lot of it has to do with forecasting, understanding what customers need today and tomorrow, making sure that they go into the day with the right plan. So
okay,
Don't over prep in the morning. Don't miss the rush hours.
Yeah.
So start producing early enough, but don't overproduce so that you would be wasting food.
Okay. Sort of monitoring their what production is needed, what their business flows, peaks and troughs are.
Absolutely right. So timing the food production, but also getting the quantities right. And this is both about preventing waste, but also about increasing quality,
of course,
because
yeah,
if they overproduce at one point, then they miss their freshness targets, and in the end, the customers do realize that.
Yeah.
So, and this works based on predictions, on a certain understanding of the customer's menu and understanding how much the customer is selling of which item and when they're selling it. But of course, it gets better when you add more observation into the mix. And
okay,
this is where camera systems come in. So we monitor inventory, both in terms of, you know, what they're cooking, but also in terms of what they already have. So you can really monitor that.
With cameras?
Yes, with cameras, yeah.
Okay.
So you can monitor...
So live activity almost? Or
absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Right. Okay. So you can plan the day based on predictions, but of course it gets better when you get that real-time feedback and really
that's
understand
what actually is happening.
That's right.
Is that using AI as well within that?
Yes. That's so this is about identifying where the food is placed, recognizing which kind of food it is, and estimating volumes and quantities.
And the longer the system's in, is it kind of learning as well?
That is right.
Is it like a cumulative effect, like a cumulative benefit, I suppose?
That's right. And this is absolutely necessary because you don't want to restart with every location that you cater to.
Okay.
Right? You need to develop that understanding about how does this business work and what do the products look like, what are their operational targets, and what do they do to achieve
how's
those.
How's that received by the customers?
Well,
or chefs even?
Well, let's say in the beginning, it takes a little bit of time to get used to. When you start off, expectations are very high. So sometimes when you need that extra week or two to learn how everything looks and what to expect, then some people are discouraged.
Yeah.
But it accelerates over time because you have that effect of scale, mm-hmm. and the systems are all connected. So if you observe something in one restaurant or one retail store, that helps you then applying that knowledge to the next and the next and the next.
Right, okay.
And the more that you see, the more that you are deployed in the field, the quicker it gets.
Okay. And how is that being adopted? I mean, how's the uptake on that, do you think?
Mostly it's fantastic adaptation. They go in, it works, and they get used to that and they never go back.
Okay.
You do see cases where in the very beginning the system needs to learn, and some crews are taken aback by that. So they see early mistakes and feel like, okay, it's not worth interacting with the system. Or you have these people who've been doing that job for a very long time and they just do things the way that they do them and that they've always done them, and this is how, you know, they operate. And it's difficult to change that behavior. But especially if you have new crews coming in and seeing the system live for the first time, they can't imagine going back.
Yeah. So it's not really about replacing people. It's more about helping them do their job better. Is that a fair comment? And improving quality and margins and waste things?
Yes, yes. And you really have to take a look at the kind of environments where this technology is used. It's very repetitive work, and it's not like in most cases people get a chance to really focus on that work. So, for example, if you take baking operations in retail, you really have to experience what it's like to be there in the morning. Mm-hmm. They may have up to 6 ovens running in parallel. Everything is beeping and everything wants attention. If you don't pay that attention quickly enough, then food burns. But at the same time, these people are supposed to stock the rest of the store, right, to restock inventory. And this is really a very noisy, very, very stressful environment. So it's really not like this is taking work that, you know, somebody was looking forward to just doing again and again and again.
Yeah.
It's automating an aspect that is just a nuisance.
Okay. So improving the work environment as well.
Yes.
What's the benefits of that technology, and maybe just short, give us some idea of the technology behind it, if you like.
Right. So the benefit is clearly that you free up cognitive load from the employees, mm-hmm. because they don't really have to operate the machines anymore.
Okay.
They operate themselves. They just load what they want to load into the oven, and the oven knows what to do with it.
So they put the product on the tray, just put it in the oven, done.
That's right. 0 buttons pressed. And this is like, sounds like a small thing, but it's actually like really good for peace of mind. But it's also, you're just not having to reach there and doing that. It creates more natural workflows.
Okay.
So, and the benefit of that, in the end, it drives sales, because what it does is it improves quality. So we've seen in field tests that a lot of mistakes are made while baking. So either people are just using a wrong program because they don't have the time to really do it right.
Yeah.
They just press the first button that they see.
So they put a product in, but there maybe isn't the right program.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's really a shame, because companies like ConvoTherm are really doing a lot to hit that gold standard for our customers, right? So the baking programs that they use on these ovens are highly customized to each individual customer.
Product, yeah.
There is so much work that goes into this. And I've
probably when it burns, they just blame the oven.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't the oven.
I'm sure that aunt has a lot of stories to tell that. But so luckily now that we have the cameras, you see the other side of things as well.
Of course.
That gives you a lot of good arguments. So mistakes that can happen, it's, of course, just using the wrong baking program, baking profile, even though you have the perfect one sitting there, just waiting for you to use it. But also operational things like combining products that just don't go well with one another.
Okay.
So if you try to bake a croissant together with a loaf of bread, good luck with that. Right?
Yeah, of course.
There is no oven in the world that can do that. And in the end, this could become a service call. Hey, my bread is not turning out well, or this croissant got burned. Why? And now we can see why. And so in this sense, we can prevent these mistakes from happening because ConvoSense actually recognizes these situations and prevents them from baking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it has
so
that.
So it can recognize that they tried to put two completely different products in.
That's right.
And it'll say no.
Yes, that's right. Wow. It says, please unload. This doesn't go together.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it can be more than just baking, though. It can be other products, protein items, meat, vegetables.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And obviously we're going to go on and talk to ConvoSense, so we'll get into a bit more detail. But just for the sort of finishing off this bit of the podcast, a couple of quick fire questions, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
What's the first thing was ever cooked with your technology? Can you remember?
Absolutely. I remember it as if it was yesterday. So this was actually before Prissy Taste was founded. I think it was back in 2013. I was on my way to a soccer match and my boss called me and said, like, hey, I just put a croissant in the oven and took a video of it. I'm sure we can do something about it. Use the toolkit that we have and tell me how long I baked it for. And I was like, you know, being an engineer, thought of 20 reasons why this shouldn't work. Turned out it did. Reasonably well, not perfect, but reasonably well. And this is how it all started, and it only got better from there.
And if AI could cook your dinner tonight, what would it cook?
Would hopefully have a good recommendation engine and surprise me.
Okay, good. What's your sort of most favorite German comfort food? And would AI know how to cook it as well?
Well, it's called Doppelkuchen. It's most German dish that you could imagine. It's basically a potato cake where you put bacon and onions and sausages in it.
Wow.
And I love it. Unfortunately, AI doesn't know how to cook it yet.
Yet.
And my wife doesn't like it very much, so
I love that. Okay. Well, something to work on there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. We're going to just take a short break, and we're going to come back to you. I'm going to go on to talk to Aunt from ConvoTherm, and we're going to invite you to join at the end of the podcast.
Thanks a lot.
I'm now joined by Aunt Manta, Director of Product Management at ConvoTherm, a well-built brand. Aunt, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Radford. I'm very well.
Good.
I'm very good.
A local journey for you, because an hour or so down the road, I think?
Absolutely. It was good driving here, so safe travel.
Well, just to sort of start us off, tell me a little bit about yourself and your career in food service equipment and what brought you to ConvoTherm.
Oh, yeah, more than happy to. So, I mean, I studied economics at the University of Hohenheim in the near Stuttgart. Then afterwards, I went to an advertising agency to complete my knowledge on how to perfectly communicate products. And then I started working in the product management in a advertising agency. So all that happened in Stuttgart. And after a while, my wife and I decided to go back to the area where we were born and raised and where we came from. And in this area, there was a dishwashing manufacturer located.
Okay.
And that's how I came into the industry, how I started working for them. And that was quite a while ago. And I worked for them for now more than 10 years. And then I switched over and got the offer to work for ConvoTherm. And I'm also already now working 9 years for ConvoTherm. So that's my journey, how I came into the industry and switched from the dishwashing, the cleaning side, to the culinary creative cooking side.
So, as Director of Product Management, what's an average day look like for you Are you in the factory? Are you traveling?
Well, it's a bit of everything. When I normally describe my job, I say I'm taking care for the existing products and the future product portfolio, what the trends are coming up, and as well as I'm taking care for business development. So normally I'm in close contact with our sales guys, with the restaurant owners, with the key account people that are coming to our factory visiting us, or we're going out there, and that's the normal day. But then, you know, we're taking care for their wishes, their needs, and sometimes this could lead to some new option that could lead to some facelift, to some upgrade. But then when a product is at the end of a life cycle, also all these processes become more and more intense, and you then start to do a new product, and then you intensify that outside contact. You're getting more and more in contact and aligned with the engineering. You go into feedback loops with customers, with key accounts, with all kinds of tests, and then you start also bringing those products when they're ready into the field testing. You surveil the field testing, see if it's good or not, if it's working or not, if it's fulfilling the customer's requirements. And when everything's fine, then as a product manager, you start to do the communication. You start to get in touch with the marketing, spreading the product news, the good news into the market, creating the marketing story. You take care for the pricing. That's the next step you have to take care for, and you make sure that all the channels have all the information material that they really require to do a great job and start the sales. So long story short, yes, I'm doing a bit of everything.
Yeah, it's quite a lot, isn't it? And I guess innovation is just constantly happening.
Absolutely. You have to have a very close eye on also on the competition, on market development, also on other industries. What's happening there? Is there a new technology coming up? How about, yes, AI? How about robotics? How about all the different kinds of aspects, IoT? And as you can see right now, we're more and more looking into the digital aspect of industries where the really innovations are happening.
And Combitherm is a company. Right. I mean, it's been around how long?
Oh, it's been there since 1976. It was founded in Bavaria. So it's next year we're celebrating our 50th anniversary. Wow, so okay. we're a long part of the industry, yes.
Yeah. Well, I think back to like my chefing days, I was cooking on Combitherm when I was, when I first started my chefing career.
Oh, fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, I started my career in the British Army, so I was based in Germany, and we always used to have Combitherm. The thing always that strikes me is that the sliding door is the thing that...
Absolutely, our disappearing door, that's still our USP. We love that, yes, absolutely. Yeah. And still an eye-opener to all the visitors that come to us. For example, on the host show in Milan, we demonstrate that in-depth and show that to all our customers. And still there's people that love to see it and see the advantages of it. Yes, saving space, more work safety, and so on and so on.
So a long-term established combination oven manufacturer. So, I mean, obviously there's quite a bit of products in your portfolio, but we're talking today specifically, and we could talk about other products as well, but we'll talk about ConvoSense. Obviously, Frederick gave us sort of an overview of the technology, but for people that have never seen it before, what is it? Maybe just take us right back to the beginning. Okay.
Well, it's an optical food recognition system that we fully integrated into our combi oven. So you just open up the door, there's a camera on top over the cavity, and then on the fly, it recognizes whatever you put into that cavity. It is done with the help of a camera, LED lights, height sensors, and it detects not only the food item you're putting in, tray by tray, it also detects the level where you put it in. So whether it is tray number 1, 3, 4, or 5. So that's what you do. And it starts automatically.
So you put multiple...
You could put in one tray or full loads. To increase efficiency, we always recommend to put in full loads, right? So,
right, yeah.
But you can also, yes, and on the trays... You can have one tray, for example, with croissant, the other one with other different Danish pastry, and it also gives you hints when you put in things into the same cavity which don't fit together. For example, regarding the temperature or regarding the cooking method that you use, because in a combi oven, you can do steaming, you can do convection, and you can do the combination of both. And whatever you put into the cavity should have followed the same temperature than with the CombiSense technology and also the same cooking method.
Okay. And where do you see this combination oven typically going into?
Typically going into where we have more or less standardized food from some food supplier or somewhere. But there, it can go into all kinds of quick service restaurants, chains, coffee shops, and also into the retail segment. So retail stores, they're really much appreciating our technology today.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine that's got a massive impact. When I was host last week, I saw that and there was a QSR brand looking at it and I could see the benefit, I guess. Yeah. So how has the operators and chefs responded to it, do you feel?
Well, they're responding very well to it. I mean, we first experienced that when we did the field testing, when we put in a few ovens into, for example, our partner in the retail section. And they were very much, very well responding to it because they really felt that their everyday life was getting easier. The processes became faster, the reliability of results was increasing, the food waste was reduced, and also the processes speeded up. So really when we came in there and doing the field testing surveys, the people were really happy with the combi ovens, and they said, if you take that oven out at any time, I'm quitting. That's really what they said. And that was really a fantastic feedback we got, because they knew that we were doing field testing and that the upper management needed to take the decision whether the oven was coming into their everyday life or if the field testing was stopped and the oven was not sold to them anymore. So, but they really said, we love the oven, we have that experience, we see the relief, and none of them really felt what we had first were afraid of. Maybe they feel like puppets on a string, remote controlled or something like that. Mm. But the only feeling that they had was they were feeling supported and their everyday life made easier.
So, I mean, it's still a combi. You're just adding this technology on top, if you like. Is that correct? Still getting all the same sort of strength of manufacturing, self-cleaning, all those things.
Exactly. So it's still the Combotherm combi oven with all its USPs. You already mentioned one, right? The disappearing door, the one-touch cleaning, the closed system, all of that. But then in addition to it, we have the option, as we call it, CombiSense. We have other options as well, like ConvoGrill or ConvoSmoke. But yes, you add that functions to the existing Combotherm combi oven.
Okay. And sustainability, I mean, it's huge at the minute. Everyone's talking about sustainability, although actually when we're at host, people are talking more about connectivity than sustainability, just as an aside. How do these sort of intelligent systems support that sustainability and connectivity?
Absolutely. I mean, if you use, for example, CombiSense together with our cloud-based platform, Kitchen Connect, you get a lot of data. And with these data you're getting, you can analyze the processes that are happening. So, for example, when is the oven used? In what way is the oven used? Is the cooking finished properly? Is there a lot of idle times? How is the results coming out of the oven? What's the operator putting into the oven? And with these results, and also with creating with the camera system, with the CombiSense technology, you're creating better results. So, and with better results, you're increasing sales.
Yeah.
So you don't have an overproduction. You're able to sell all the products that you're baking or cooking. Mm-hmm. So you reduce the food waste. And with speeding up the processes, you're getting more efficient. Seeing all that together with the Kitchen Connect technology, you see the idle and the downtimes. That's also increasing efficiency. And when you know how the oven is used and how often the oven is used, you can also have a look at the cooking cycles that you have done, and you can give recommendations when it comes to servicing, preventive, predictive maintenance, and also increase the lifetime of the combi oven with that, by taking care very much on the oven, by taking very well care of the combi oven, and with that increasing the lifespan of the combi oven. So, which is also an important aspect of sustainability, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the longer it lasts, the less things it's using. So with the connected kitchen, you call it connected kitchen, is that?
Kitchen Connect, yes.
Kitchen Connect. That enables as well for your engineers to be able to, with the customer's permission, to see what's happening?
Exactly. You need the customer's permission. But yes, for example, also in a field trial, we use those data to get a deeper knowledge on how the oven is used and also to take a deep look on occurring error codes, whether it is something substantial, which is then causing downtime, which then needs a service person going there, or whether it is just something that you get reminded of. For example, the water treatment has run out, the capacities of the cartridges have run out.
I've not cleaned it.
Or you have to refill the cleaner, exactly, something like that. Yeah. So
I guess a lot as well, software driven, so you just push that. So I think about like my car, I get software updates.
Yep. We can do that also, and that's also a great benefit for the customer. So we can push software to the combi ovens. We can push also new cookbooks to the combi oven if there is new offerings that the customer wants to bring to his customers, wants to sell. And also we can update the ConvoSensus AI model by pushing a new AI model if, for example, like I said, there's new products coming into the portfolio or the products change region-wise, need to be adapted. So that's all that can be done also in addition to all the other aspects, like having a deeper insight on servicing or on that. And remember, just look at how much money you can save by not going there with a USB stick and needing to update the combi oven by traveling there by car, which takes a lot of time and also effort and the distance and all of that. So we're now really in the position where we can do all of these services very easy and reliable.
And do customers have concerns about cyber attacks or, you know, safety, if you like?
I mean, it is concerns, but these we figure out by having high safety standards, high standards on when it comes to cyber attacks and everything. So, but it is concerns that we take serious and we're taking care for it. That because it's like always, you know, you can have the highest fortress around, but the easiest entrance that you can find is always the weakest spot where all those kinds of risks come in. So we need to take care, and we do that, and we take that with responsibility to have a real high standard on resilience and on cybersecurity and all that.
Okay. Yeah, I can just think about a client in the UK that I was dealing with, but they put a dedicated internet, if you like, line in just for the kitchen stuff, so it didn't affect their, or, you know, because they were banks, they didn't want to have it connected to their. I guess that's a solution, I suppose, as well as all
exactly.
the safety.
No, that's what we also have in the experience. There is customers that don't want us to go into their normal network, so we have to create an external or a secondary parallel network, and we also can link the combi ovens with, for example, LTE SIM routers. Completely out of the existing
over the mobile
LAN
phone network.
Connection system or in the local networks that are provided or kept by the customers.
Oh, that's quite good.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, that completely.
So, but you can see we already had those requests and we found responses to it. So
I'm just thinking those things that you think about.
Truly,
obviously, we're going to talk a bit more depth about AI connected kitchens in the group discussion, but. I could have a quick fire question around for you, if you don't mind. Apart from a Combotherm oven, what's your favourite kitchen tool at home, if you cook at home?
Well, at home, I thought more about the professional cooking kitchen equipment, but I like my induction field, but very much at home. But in a professional way, I like most our Flex Pro multi-purpose cooking device, which can be described as a bread pan or a tilting pan, so where you can do all those kinds of things that are a little bit harder to do in a combi oven, for example, frying something or deep frying things.
Yeah.
This is quite hard in a combi oven world, but still the combi oven is more like a Swiss army knife than anything else. But
I like that analogy.
And if you combine those both, like in our portfolio right now, you have the perfect combination, so you can fulfill and do to perfection all the kitchen processes that are done in a modern kitchen today, and you can fulfill and cook and bake all the menus that you can think of. That, so that's
the multi-cook pan is quite new for going to your portfolio recently.
Yes, absolutely. It was introduced into the Combathon portfolio, I think, 1.5 or 2 years ago.
Yep.
So we're now expanding. It was first introduced in Germany, but we're now Europe-wide, and now we're going to the Asian regions with that. And it's also very much appreciated and highly welcomed to all our customers where we present it.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a fantastic... I saw it in Milan as well. It's a fantastic product. Yeah. Very robust, well built, along with your company name.
Exactly. And with the same user interface now than the combi oven has, which is a requirement of many, many customers, and which is also following our platform strategy, where we want to have the same user interface, the same icons, the same way of... programming or controlling the units than we do like with the Mini Pros, with the Max Pros, or with our Max product lines, which are all combi ovens. So we're having the same user interface all over and the same pictograms used all over the our product portfolio.
Which makes it easy for the user.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you can use one, you can always use the other one as well.
All the portfolio.
All of them. Yes.
A ConvaSense had a personality. Well, how do you describe it?
Well, I would describe it as a very steady person. It's constant, reliable, optimizing the results. It's very supportive, right? So the users are getting supported by that. And it's giving you hints if the food items you put together into the cavity are not matching. So it's really a really supportive person. It is patient, right? because even if you've entered the wrong items the 100th time into the cavity, it still will remind you that there is room to improve, that you can do better. So I would call it, I also see it as very patient and balanced, modest, and respectful, if you say so.
I love that analogy. That's a great personality. No throwing pans or anything.
No, not at all.
And finally, what's the best ever meal you've had in Bavaria, if you'd like to say it? I mean, you don't have to mention the venue.
No, I mean, in being in the food service industry and having the opportunity of eating at so many fantastic restaurants and getting in touch with so many chefs. But when you're asking me especially about a Bavarian food, I really love Chef Andy's, and he's our brand representative chef, Chef Andy's pork knuckle or pork shoulder with our famous popcorn crust. I've never seen it somewhere better than in Egelfing at the Combathon factory. I really love that.
I've got to go to the factory now.
Absolutely. and even though I'm working for 9 years now for Combathon, and we had a lot of guests coming through and they all enjoyed our pork shoulder with that popcorn crust, I still think it's fantastic and I really love to taste it over and over again. So really,
Well, great to talk to you, and thank you for that insight into, you know, ConvaTherm, ConvaSense. You know, hopefully our listeners understand a lot more about it. We're going to take a short break now, and we invite Frederick to come back and join us and have a bit of a group discussion, talk about AI, connected cooking, and the future hospitality, if you like.
Oh, fantastic!
Thank you.
Welcome to the world of Ali, the largest and most diverse food service equipment company on the planet. With over 110 brands under the Ali Group umbrella, we serve more than 150 countries worldwide. Our brands are at the forefront of innovation, offering cutting-edge technology and ergonomic designs that keep pace with the ever-evolving market. But we're not just a global leader, we're a network of local companies working together to deliver excellence. Ali Group's unmatched expertise in food service makes us the proud exclusive sponsor of Kitchen Curiosity. To learn more, visit aligroup.com.
Gentlemen, welcome back. So we're going to discuss about sort of AI, the use of AI in hospitality and in kitchens, and also why don't we talk about connected kitchens and delve into that as well. So when we think about, you know, Frederick, your company's technology and AI and all technology advancements, and obviously Combathon's strong engineering base, it's a strong foundation. Is this sort of the future of kitchens, do you think?
I definitely think so. I think the connected aspect of it is already happening, and it's widespread already. I think nobody can challenge the advantages. Arndt has talked a bit about the service aspect of it, how much cheaper it is to do something remotely than actually sending a service technician over. So I think this lays the groundwork for what is to come, and what is to come is AI.
Yeah.
I think there are three core challenges going forward. We have the growing demand for quality. People have a choice, so they go where it tastes best. And where it tastes best is where somebody takes care of quality every moment of every day. And that could be an AI assistant system, for example. You have labor shortage, which makes you, you know, training cycles get shorter. Mm-hmm. People need to be able to work with equipment. And the more that equipment works for you, not the other way around, it's the better it is. So labor shortage can be a point that supports this development. And then finally, of course, food waste.
Yeah.
It's already important because it's really an important aspect of a restaurant's bottom line. But even if you look outside of that, the environmental challenges that there are and legislation that is being created around it is another aspect driving this.
And one aspect that is fueling this is that the resistance or the against AI, or it is AI is getting more and more accepted. People are using it in their everyday life. They're having their handhelds. With whatever ChatGPT or whatever kind of tool on it, they're using it more frequently. And so also there, they don't feel intimidated or they don't push back any technology that is including that and is willing and able to help them. And they see it more as a help than something that is taking their jobs away or they're bringing up resistance in them. So, I mean, they really feel supported. And AI, including AI into a combi oven, for example, now here in this example, is supporting them. It's taking the stress out of their everyday life. It's something they really appreciate and that they need. And so I think, yeah, it's going more and more forward. And also we see that in the digital area, right, like talking about AI or IoT or things like this, all these kinds of short words and things, there we really see the future, because creating real innovations in hardware, yes, we need to do it. We need to continue with innovations in hardware, but we see it also more happening now out of these trends in the digital segment of the business. So we need to more and more take care for these aspects, and we need to take more and more include those into our innovative products, even for the future.
Do you feel there's a bit of still, I know we touched on it before, but skepticism about AI? I mean, believe it or not, I've actually had somebody send me, they scanned something that I'd put out and checked if it was AI to show me. And, you know, but what's the problem with using AI? As long as you know what you're talking about and you're able to qualify what the AI is giving you, is there a problem? And, you know, why are people taking this skeptical approach? Or are you seeing this skeptical approach, I suppose?
Well, they had it in the past, I would say so. But it's getting better and better. And I think the thing that is most discussed out there is my job taken away by AI in the future? And whereas we in the food service industry and in the kitchens and supermarkets and coffee shops of the world, we see more labor shortage. We see our customers don't have enough staff, that they have staff with lower training levels,
skill sets,
and so on. And we really see that there, and also our customers see it like this, that we fill a gap there. There's nothing we push out there. We get into it and we fill a gap that is already existing, and we're filling that gap up with the AI technology and the knowledge we put into the combi ovens with that.
Yeah.
I think assistant systems are becoming so prevalent nowadays that this is not only happening in this industry, so it's getting very normal for people. I mean, could you imagine taking a road trip like 1,000 kilometers and not be able to rely on your adaptive cruise control?
Yeah.
I would fall asleep after 2 hours probably.
And
people get used to that. AI is an enabler for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing that in many fields, and people have that.
I suppose there's always been people that are faster adopters and slower adopters, or, you know, skeptical, or, you know.
Yeah.
I guess when even when email came around, for instance.
Yes, yes.
Think about that.
And know. I mean, imagine, we've been doing this since 2013. Back then, wow. It was a whole different story. So you would see real pushback and people like saying, oh no, I don't believe that this is possible.
But for most people like me, we've only really seen it in the last couple of years.
Really. Yeah, yeah, I mean,
let's be honest, it's
changing so quickly.
Yeah.
So there was that whole area of doubt. Like, I don't think that this can be done. This can't be feasible. This doesn't work. How does it work? Why does it work? And that disappeared over the last years.
Yeah, yeah.
What we mostly experience, or what we sometimes discuss, is the topic of complexity. So you're adding another electronic parts into the combi oven. How about reliability? How about the balancing of, making it more and more complex, and the ease of use that we are communicating in our marketing tools and everything. So we are taking care for this. I mean, in the past, it was done the other way around. You only had buttons and knobs, and the complexity was handed over to the chefs in the kitchen. You needed to know what temperature, you needed to know what time, you needed to know everything. Now we're putting in all that knowledge and all those technologies into the combi oven, putting it away from the users, bringing it into the combi oven, making it easy. Yes, the oven gets a little bit more complex, but therefore we have competent partners, we have competent engineers to take care for this. And the user in the end has a much easier life and a much easier handling, and we're taking the responsibility for anything else, and he has an easy life with that. So more the aspect of complexity coming with those parts that we're putting in is more that we discuss than the resistance against AI or the pushback from AI.
Okay.
Also, there is a choice. It's not black and white. You don't need to automate everything, right?
No.
So it really enables you to focus on what you like doing. The chefs can take the creative part while the guardrails are there to make sure that whatever they're serving as a side dish is not burning.
Mm. Of course. So, and another big question, I mean, obviously we get to big subjects, if you like, but data, I mean, obviously these systems, but it doesn't mean whether it's ConverSense or whether it's ChatGPT or whether it's a medical AI or car, it's collecting a lot of data. And then that comes around the question of ownership and privacy. So how do we make sure that this innovation stays sort of ethical and transparent? Maybe that's one for you, I don't know.
Yeah, this is a very important question. This especially, of course, in the EU, but even in the US and states like California, for example, data privacy is a huge topic.
Yeah.
So this is a topic that doesn't concern us on a theoretical level. So let's talk about it because it's an issue tomorrow. It is an issue today,
mm-hmm.
Because companies also have their guidelines and need their guidelines on how to deal with these policies that are in place and what to look for. And I actually think that this kind of legislation is good because it provides a framework that we can work with the customers to fulfill.
Yeah.
So it gets more concrete. It's something that you can tackle and that we have tackled. So we, for example, are certified under ISO 27001, which is the IT security one. And this comes with yearly audits and, you know, documentation and
quite a high
technical
standard, a very high standard, really.
Yes, and it's not the kind of thing that you just create a handbook for and then put that to the side for 1 year, and then the next year when the auditor comes back, you just dust it off and put it back in place. This is a continuous process. Where you really need to document your day-to-day work and make sure that, you know, things are secure, policies are being abided by, that you do the right thing.
Even in our sector.
And it's a question we get asked by our customers. We need to take care for, and they were asking us what kind of data is sent up, and we needed to take also measures. So we made sure that for our existing customers, there's only the pictures of the trays sent up. There's no hands on those pictures. There's no feet or any kind of personal sign on that or personal aspect on that, so that you're just sending up the trays that are going in. And because when we did the field testing, I could see which trays I loaded when we looked at the pictures. Because yes, I'm wearing a ring, you know, I knew about my shoes that I was wearing at that day, so that's really impractical how we are taking care for this, right? To fulfill,
you have to raise all of that. You can't have that.
Exactly. So we're just looking at the tray, sending up the tray, and as a picture when we do, for example, the teaching of new products or the surveillance of if the processes are done properly, if there's too many items on the trays or if there's not enough items on the trays, we have a look at those pictures, and those are everything that is personal is taken
out of the picture. Some brands as well are quite focused on their intellectual property, if you like, their product, making sure that their competition don't know what their product's been cooked and things like that, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of knowledge that has gone into this development from both sides. I mean, either Combotherm's and Pretty Taste's side. So we need to, it is a product that we want to sell. So we need to take care for a perfect come out and turnover and also a perfect results that we're providing to the customer because he's paying us for that. But also we need to make sure that we keep the system up to date. Also, there is a lot of work going into this. And for this, we need to make sure that also our intellectual property stays with us. And
of course,
and we cannot share everything and every kind of aspect that is going on in the background.
Of course.
And the same is true for our customers. So they care about the data privacy because of this legislation that is in place, but also because they want to protect their business. So they don't want their recipes to be common knowledge. They, of course, don't want to have any information about their sales numbers or when do they produce what spilled. And this is very, very important. And especially the chain customers do protect that knowledge really well. And there is no way that you get in business with them if you don't have that figured
Absolutely.
Out.
Yeah.
You're one of the first manufacturers, if not the first manufacturer to...
We were the first manufacturer using Sense technology, AI, optical food recognition in the market, yes.
Yeah. So real groundbreaking stuff, really.
Absolutely.
I can see the benefits, definitely.
And we're having now more than 2,000 units out there in the market. So we're working, our customers are working with that day by day work. So 24 hours.
In quite a short time, really.
Absolutely, yes. And it was a constant rollout, and we had great partners with that because in the beginning, yes, you need to perfectionize your system in the field as well. But so we're really far away from the project status. We're now really in everyday life and constantly
just some sort of fine tuning. You're well into
we're adapting to new products. We're adapting and we're keeping the recognition rates high. That's what we're doing.
Yeah,
and this takes so much effort. It's not like this just learns by itself and everything just works. It's a whole ecosystem. It's a whole platform that is behind that. The data collection we've already talked about and how important that is, but then what happens to that data? So I actually spent 3 years in India building a team of engineers over there, but also people that do data labeling for us so that we can offer this service at scale. So we collect the data, we have it looked at by our team, both for the AI to learn, but also to create KPIs and understand where are we at? Is this still working? Mm-hmm. Is there maybe new LTOs or new products being introduced and the customer forgot to tell us about it? do we need to change something about the models? Are we hitting the recognition rates that we want to hit? Or is there maybe something else that we can point out to the customers as kind of a value-added service, something that we see, if they mix a lot of products on one tray, that shouldn't be mixed or something like that, that could otherwise get lost.
Yeah.
Right? There's that, then the whole aspect about training and retraining the AI, keeping the systems up to date again, not only talking about features, but also about the security aspect of it, right? Like if you don't provide regular service updates to connected systems, they're vulnerable.
Yeah.
And quickly. So this needs to be something that you do continuously.
All the time.
Yeah. And then, so software updates and of course also the AI models. So yeah, there's a lot that goes into this.
It's a heck of a lot. I mean, you know, I'm probably only discussing the surface in this podcast. You don't really think about it when you think about that product. Where do you see this technology going in our sector? Obviously, I'm sure your competition is basically scrambling trying to bring something out.
More widespread. Yeah. More widespread, absolutely. So I think it's going to, more and more customers are going to adapt it, and maybe starting from chain customers, you know, which have more subsidiaries, more shops, more outlets than just maybe one or two. Mm-hmm. So I would see it more in a range of 20 and more. That could be up to 10,000 if you ask me, but well, and but I think the breakthrough of the technology is only a short ahead of us. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I can just think of so many different, you know, fast food chains or bakery chains. A huge one in the UK with probably three stores in every single town. That, you know, they would use this technology, and you see them all the time burning the bacon, burning the sausages. It just wouldn't happen, I guess.
And I think that this kind of assistant system is really what we're going to see a lot more of in the coming decade. I don't think that we will anytime soon, if ever, go to like fully automated kitchens. I think that at least short to midterm, robotics is just not there. Mm-hmm. And it also brings a lot of issues with serviceability and pricing, of course. So I really think that future where everything is automated and, you know, the technology is taking away jobs that people are desperate for, I don't see it yet.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way. And the aspect of improving humans and helping them, providing guardrails, making them, enabling them to focus on something that they like rather than doing the repetitive work is what we're seeing. And then the other thing is the whole forecasting side of things, optimizing production, making the most out of the resources that you have, and that is the food resource, but it's also your labor and your equipment as well, and all needs to work together to make sure that you plan every aspect of your kitchen right.
That's what I also see. You know, at the food production of the future, wherever it may happen, it doesn't just only needs to be in a kitchen or, you know, somewhere. It can be anywhere at a grocery store or at a coffee shop or anything. I think I see it in this space that it is more connected and intuitive, and also appliances that are going to communicate seamlessly, and they are going to anticipate needs and adapt the plannings that were done over shorter and shorter periods. So, for example, if the weather changes dramatically from one second to another, your production plans get adapted. Or, for example, if one device is ready, the other one will prep itself immediately. For example, if the combi oven profile that is cooking or baking is almost done 5 minutes ahead of being done. For example, the chiller starts already cooling down in the kitchen and preparing itself for loading the food that is coming out of the combi oven. So this is going to be a more and more trends that we're going to see. So more communication between the kitchen devices going on, between all those kinds of devices that you have in the kitchen. And with that, supporting the increase of efficiency, sustainability, minimizing waste and the energy use with that. And also the surveillance of the whole process that goes through the kitchen so that you can improve from the food entering the kitchen to the cooking, the baking, the storing, the retherming, the prepping in portion-wise, and then going to the cleaning and the handling of the remained food waste and the reduced food waste.
So also improving food hygiene, the whole, all the HACCP piece, all of that as well.
going into this. And yes, we see more and more, also their AI and camera technology being used to support that kind of process.
Well, I think, gentlemen, that concludes the podcast. Thank you for your insight. You've given us a lot to think about. And I mean, I've learned quite a bit, actually, in the last hour about AI and like you said, about connected kitchens, that piece of equipment talking to equipment. That's a whole different level, isn't it?
But absolutely. Yeah. But the future is close to come, so it's very much near.
Well, thank you both for joining me on the podcast. I hope you both enjoyed it.
Absolute pleasure. It was fantastic. Thank you very much for having us.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Okay. Well, that's the end of the podcast. And as you've heard, AI is being used widely in our kitchens already. And connected kitchens are there, and they're developing fast as well, where the equipment's connected with each other. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next time we're at the FEA conference, so back in the UK, and we're going to be talking to a whole raft of members from the Food Service Equipment Association. If you've got any questions or anything you'd like me to cover, please email me at radford@kitchencuriosity.co.uk. You've been listening to Kitchen Curiosity, and I've been your host, Radford Chancellor.
Kitchen Curiosity is written and hosted by Radford Chancellor and is edited and produced by Tom Anderson. Kitchen Curiosity is exclusively sponsored by Ali Group and is a Sound Rebel production.